benefits, their vacation accrual, you know, and the retirement portion, accrual, those remain the same, which is a real benefit for folks. So they have that many less payday or days that are paid during that 6 months. But really, it's a good compromise for folks who, and with voluntary furlough, we do have, you know, particularly two of the three, and the third one, I don't really know for sure. But family, and the ability to spend more time with family this summer. Jan is one that's going to do some furlough time, and really for her health, that's better anyway, to keep working part-time and, but not to be doing a 40-hour week for a while. So I think that's a really good solution to some of this. Basic support, case services to date is about 27.5% higher than it was last year this time. But it's about 11% less than it was 2 years ago. And 2 years ago, you know, it was really very high, at a high slope of increase. And so last year, we really, you know, were very closely analyzing what we were doing. And so, you know, we're doing better this year, but we're still quite a bit higher than we were last year. But I think we're just fine as far as case services goes. Operations kind of the same way. We're in what I would say good shape, but it's because we are really looking at every expenditure, and we need to continue to do that, you know. So I really appreciate all the work that staff is doing to make that happen, because it just takes continued vigilance. Let's see, what else is here? We will have some vacancy savings. We are sadly going to not fill Sheila's position for a while. We haven't really put a date on that, but we're going to, Candy has worked with the support staff in her other two offices in the North Platte District to kind of parcel out the work that Sheila was doing. There are three people in the office, so I think some coverage of the office will, they'll work out some kind of a schedule. So we're hopeful, we'll just kind of see how that goes. If it really is, turns out people aren't being served, or we just can't keep up with the business of it all, then we'll definitely reassess. I'll depend on Candy to let us know, you know, how that goes. But so that will be a help, actually, to have that flexibility. Let's see. Next year, we're projected to get less next year than we did this year from state general funds. We already know that. I did check on whether we would still be able to meet our federal match with those less dollars. As long as we continue to get approval of the low vision clinic match, that the third party agreement that we have, if that remains the same, then we're good for match for next year too. So that's a big relief. We'll have the monitoring from RSA, both of the case services part and of our fiscal part of operations, in August. And so they'll be looking at that match situation very closely. So that's kind of where that's at.
Why would the low vision thing be different?
The low vision clinic, we have what's called a third party cooperative agreement. And those are extremely regulated. They have so many qualifications or conditions in order to be eligible. And so they're really rather tricky to set up. And so we believe that we've done it exactly right, and we've provided all the documentation needed and not put anything in there that doesn't apply. But I think after they go through it really closely next month, or later this month, we'll have a better idea.
Is it a different agreement than we've done in the past?
No, well, no, it's the same agreement, but it's actually, we've provided even more and better documentation of what it is that we're claiming as match. It should be fine. It's just, you never know with those things. We are, as you know, this year we didn't do the Home Teaching Plus, and we didn't do round two it. We don't, you know, we're hopeful that we can either do those programs next year or find a different way to make sure people get the training they need. And also the Newsline contract is something that we have had, but we're not looking to have that as a part of the budget for next year. So, you know, what we're trying to do in every case is if there's something that we are paying for as a separate thing, we're trying to look at, can that be incorporated into our overall infrastructure, if you will, you know, the folks that we have to do what needs to be done and make sure it gets done right. So I see we'll talk about that more later, but since that's part of the budgetary looking ahead, you know, that's kind of where we're at with that.
On the Newsline, since the legislature specifically appropriates some money for that and it's part of the law, does that have to be changed?
No, we're not changing having Newsline. And actually the legislature does not appropriate any, we didn't get any funds to provide Newsline. We will not be changing Newsline at all. We will continue our contract with the National Center in Baltimore for the Newsline service. The only proposal that the only change that I'm talking about is to not have a contracted
employee
outreach person.
Oh.
See, when it first got set up, it was new, it really did need outreach, and there was a physical black box in the Omaha office that needed to be
checked, tweaked,
and so on. That's no longer true. There does need to be somebody who calls the line every day to make sure the feed is running and to report any problems in transmission or, you know, anything along that line. There also always is a need for our staff to make sure people know about all the resources, and Newsline is certainly a very important one for keeping up with the world. And so I actually think that it's more efficient for our counselors to, you know, they go to people's homes on a regular basis. Sometimes it's helpful to have a reason to come back. You know, if you teach them how to use, whether it's talking books, as it was back when I was in the field that we would spend more time on, or in this case, Newsline, you see if they're interested, you tell them about it, you sign them up to try it if they want, radio talking book too. I mean, all these things we let folks know about, and then we can follow up and we can offer to come back next week or next month to see how it's going, to continue to provide training if that's needed or whatever. So I, you know, I'm thinking that a mix of the with support staff, you know, it doesn't matter where you are to make that phone call into the line, that can be done. And then staff statewide can be doing that ongoing outreach, so to speak. And our staff do in-services all the time. We used to, I'm sure that's still true. They they go to senior centers, community groups, and so anybody that'll, you know, schools, anybody that'll have us, and that we do. We talk about what the commission has to offer, and we also tell about radio talking book and news line and library services. And so that's just part of our job. We do that all the time.
Patoche?
Patoche?
Also, the last supervisors meeting, we talked about using actual consumers in the area. One of the things that is really important, I believe, for rehab work is for consumers to be able to give back to their community, to participate. And this is a really excellent opportunity to find two, three people in each community that uses Newsline and really likes it, really excited for them to be able to go and teach other people. That is, I think, really key for consumers to really feel part of it and feel like they're giving back.
How will that be organized?
Each office will organize. We're already doing it, for example, in the center. You know, our center clients going out in some of the people in Lincoln community. And we are going to do, not with the news line, but teaching using the library tape recorder, you know, using a center client. I think it's so important for clients to be able to do that.
Or past clients, consumers.
Exactly.
They don't necessarily have to know me.
Exactly.
Right. Thank you. I didn't mention that. What else on the budget? Those are the main things. Do you have any questions? Or I have lots of information here if you want to know grant balances or line item expenditures or all kinds of stuff. But I won't burden you with it if you don't want to hear about it.
Does anybody have any questions other than what we've already talked about the budget? If not, we'll go on to the rules review.
Okay. Our favorite. Yes. Switching from one to the next. That's fine. Our favorite topic, rules. Okay. Chapters 1 and 3, I hope, received the letter that I scanned and sent from the Attorney General's office. Lynn Nelson is the attorney working with us. She is saying that basic... Yes.
I didn't even know that whether it was he or she.
Yeah, Lynn is one of those.
Because I'm assuming since Lynn Heaton was a he, that
true.
This one was too.
Yeah.
Nope.
she's a she. Okay.
Sorry. I'm surprised by that.
In her letter, she had a couple of minor points. There's a section on eligibility. Let's see, we're in chapter one. The eligibility, we say A is the individual has sight which is so defective as to seriously limit his or her ability to engage in the ordinary vocations and activities of life, followed by the citation. And then B is the individual requires voc rehab services in order to prepare for, secure, retain, or regain employment. She suggests in her letter that A and B be connected by and.
Yeah.
And I agree that would occur. Then she mentioned that the with regard to fee schedules, which we have included in an appendix, you've stated the fee schedules such as Medicaid, visual care, Medicaid, hospital care, are not schedules that we promulgate. She says, I wonder, however, if you could include a statement at the beginning of the appendix to the effect that the copies are available for viewing your office. And I would agree that's a reasonable thing, that we should add that language in there. And then finally, with regard to the numerous references to federal regulations, The question is if you are simply citing them as authority for your regulations, or whether the federal regulations contain further requirements with which your applicants must comply. I think it's the former, but that's one piece that we were still not entirely certain about. She wasn't going to change any text. She just said to the extent, if you're merely citing them, then just you have a sentence in there saying that. If you're including them because they include further requirements, then you probably need it to include a statement that the federal regulations are attached and incorporated by this reference. I think the regulations could be attached or certainly made available at the office, and that's probably a reasonable thing to do anyway. And then she says, I've also reviewed your Chapter 3, that's the vending program. It appears to me you have addressed the concerns outlined in the previous letter. Still some concerns as to the hearing procedure, but I think our office would probably approve on the basis that we previously approved the same language in the previous same regulations. And so she is saying to us, I did talk with her after that, she does not believe that an additional public hearing will be required if the board will approve the changes that we've put in place with these few additional things that she has suggested. Then once we get that approval, if we get that from you today, we will revise the draft and again send the big notebooks that we sent over to Attorney General, Secretary of State, and Governor's office. And then now Lynn explained that it's still possible someone there in any of those reviews could say Lynn was wrong, this is substantive change, you need a public hearing. But she believed that the changes were not substantive. So before I jump to Chapter 2, let's finish with these two. Do you have questions about any of that?
I don't think so. As long as we do have the federal whatever they are is available so that if people come and look at under their heart's content or whatever.
Right.
And is there a difference? Are some of them one kind and some of them the other?
Reading two, it seemed like they were just
just
citations in support of what's written there.
Right.
I don't think there's anything additional. So, but I don't see where it'll have cover our.
Put it. Yeah.
By just having them attached.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, were we thinking of having the rules and regulations on the website?
You're reading my mind, Bob. We could certainly have a link to the federal regulations. Oh, these rules or the federal regulations?
Well, both. I guess.
Yes. These rules are on our website already. Of course, they are in the draft.
That's right.
But yes, the final rules will absolutely be, the full text will be on our website. And also, it'll be available for people if they want it on tape or large print or braille. All they have to do is let us know they want it. But what I was thinking is maybe we should set up on the website links to the appropriate federal regulations.
Yeah, that was something I was going to suggest, because that way, we could have them physically in the office if that's what they really are still saying. But we could also, if we had it in there, that they're also available at whatever.
Yes.
That seems like it would be...
More people might be more willing to look into what they really are.
Yeah. Right. We'll do that.
Um, sure a relief to know that we probably don't have to do that whole process.
It is a relief. I'm so hopeful. And I think she was really just kind of, I mean, covering herself by not saying, oh, yeah, it's no problem. But I think I'm fairly confident that she, I mean, if anything, she's been overboard in what she's said we need to do. So I think if it required a public hearing, we would know that. That's my sense of it. So would this be the point to ask for?
Does somebody have a motion to?
I would so move that we approve the chapter, what, title?
Amendments.
I'll second.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded that we approve chapters 1 and 3 of rule as amended. Is there discussion?
Call for the question.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, Pearl, could you read chapter 3?
I'd be glad to. Sit back. Yeah, it's okay.
Well, we got the rest of the night.
Now let's talk about chapter 2. Carlos is working diligently on chapter 2. He's met with and or talked on the phone with Lynn Melson and also with Kristen Peterson, who is the legal counsel at Voc Rehab and also is the expert over there on who developed their rules. Chapter 2 is the one that governs impartial hearing reviews. And we wrote ours very much based on Voc Rehab's Rule 71 because they're the same. I mean, they're Voc Rehab, we're Voc Rehab. They have the same requirements by the feds as far as how to process complaints and do impartial reviews or impartial hearings. And their rule, it's already out there. It had been approved. And so we felt really quite confident that with changing language that would fit us, that wasn't specific to the general agency, that we were on good foundation. Turned out not to be the case, we've had to, and thankfully now Carlos has taken care of that. So Carlos has had to work. It's very nitpicky work, as I certainly know from doing these other two. But he's working very hard to make the changes necessary on that one. Carlos, would you like to say anything about that?
Sure. Do you want me to spend 2 hours?
No.
Yeah, 3 minutes.
Between 5 hours, 2 hours and 5 minutes.
I think that I kind of, the situation is that back in 1994, 96, I believe, the state promulgated rules that said that each new agency or every new agency which will promulgate their own rules have to match with the model rules that the state promulgated back then, meaning 94 or 96, I believe it's 96. And there is a stipulation there that says that if it's different, you must explain the reasons why. So that's the time consuming. I wanted to say, well, the reason is because we are a parallel agency that Voc Rehab, and they are also having the rules and it's the law. But they are not buying that. They want us to go over each section and say why it's different. The one thing is the same, we just have to say it's the same. But the one thing are different, we have to explain why they are different and cite it. Have the citation, state rule or federal rule. So I, you know, being a little smart, I said, okay, I'm going to call Voc Rehab and get their explanation because I'm sure they went through that, right? Well, they told me that they threw away their console. They don't have anything because they were based, their rules were based on the, before the amendment of the Rehabilitation Act of 98. So it won't help me anyway. when you know. So I spent some time getting the two about them together, and I'm moving along. It's like I told Pro, it's tedious, time consuming, but we are on the right track after I talked to both attorneys, the Attorney General office and from General Bobrick. There are by no means that I'm going to have some more questions for a few people and maybe check with Bro whether or not we take out maybe one sentence or put together little things. But the most tedious thing is coming along together, meaning getting all the citations from the federal rules and the state.
Thank you.
Carlos, we appreciate your work on that. And,
not me.
And it is one that, you know, well, I don't know if we'll be, I guess, I mean, we'll do the same thing and just see if the changes will require a public hearing, and we will let you know.
But so you said the state has a model that's been adopted since
96.
And so... Could we just take their model? I guess we did, it'd be substantive change, and we'd have to have a new hearing.
Right. Well, I wanted to take the models, but that would be substantive change from the ones that we already have, one. And two, their model rules doesn't cover everything that the Rehab Act covers.
Right, if I can...
Because the Rehab Act changed again in 98, which made some of what was in those... things before that.
Yeah, and actually the state rules don't have any, I mean, they don't care what the Rehab Act did. And so the state rules, they're their own thing, and the Rehab Act really has quite a different, in some cases, process for what needs to happen. Hmm. Well, we need to comply with the Rehab Act, you know, but we can't just do it with total disregard of the state law. So that's the real problem of what to do there.
The intention of that law back in 96, which states that every new agency have to have the same type of rules and the model law, the intention was not to confuse attorneys or people about different procedures. So one of our arguments will be, that's the reason why we're also trying to do the same in Bogriga, because we don't want to confuse consumers. You know, CAS, Client Assistance Program.
Good idea. Yeah.
So that will be the first thing, the first paragraph, I guess, mm-hmm. I'll respond. And I can tell you more details, but...
No, that's more than that.
Thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. Let me also mention, maybe you noticed on my goals, one of them is to develop NCBVI workplace policies and promulgate rule chapter concerning personnel workplace policies. Our workplace policies are those that we carried over from Health and Human Services, which actually were what were carried over from Department of Public Institutions. It is the practice in this state when an agency is transferred into or out of another. Those same policies do apply. And so it's not like we don't have any. We have very clear workplace policies. But there are a few, you know, things specific to the way we operate that can be made different. And also just to have them that do have our name on them. That is, when we first started working with rules, we were looking at all four chapters, the three specific to client services, and then the one that was personnel, and we decided we need to set personnel aside, we need to get these dealt with. So we did begin working on them, actually, and so the groundwork is laid, and I think it's realistic that we can move ahead with that this year. So I did just want to mention that at this time as well. And that's all I have on rules.
So Well, maybe if we have to do the process again on anything, we can do it when we do the process for, I'm assuming we'd have to do the process for chapter four.
Yes, you're right.
So if we have to do one of the others, maybe we can do it all at the same time.
That's a good idea.
Okay, if no one has any other questions on rule, is there anything new on the website?
Yes, we now have 23 people on the mailing list. So it's not huge, but
better than seven.
You know, it's better than seven. And it's not one of these mailing lists that has 12,000 messages a day, which is probably good. And so I would almost be embarrassed if we had 700 people sign up and, you know, didn't get something all the time, but we don't have the ability to send out newsletter kinds of things. Just staff-wise, we don't have the time at this point to do it. But anyway, so that's a good thing. And our activity level, thanks to Sheila, we have some reports. I'll just tell you the successful requests is the number that, you know, of people that go to the website, basically, is what it means to me. Stays quite high and good. May, the total was 2,443. Down a little bit in July, 2,272. And then, let's see, and the one that Sheila just handed me, oh, those were May, June. Okay, the one you just handed me this morning was July. And that, this successful request is 2,487. So, you know, folks are taking a look at us, and that's good. You might know, you probably know, that just pretty recently, Sheila became our webmaster, and so got some training in that, which and she's done a really great job with that, and even offered to help us with it after she goes away, but I know how busy graduate school is, and we would like to be able to call Sheila, and if we have questions or run into any snags, but not to really have her think that that's an obligation, but it was sweet of her to offer. We do have a consumer in Omaha who is has had some training from Kelly Coleman about websites and is very interested in developing his own skills and working with it, and he is offering to basically be our webmaster on a volunteer basis. And so we're very excited about that. Nancy Floral and Kelly Coleman will be working with him.
And what's his name?
Jim Urock will be doing that.
What was the last name?
Urock.
Oh, Urock.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that will be a great way to keep up with that. That's all I have on the website. Anything else or ideas for that?
I don't think so. We talked about the, you know, making the rule and the federal regulations and all of that, you know,
right
on there. And I think as it goes forward, you know, we're getting more messages now than we were, but I think it's good to not have a flurry of of things. That gets easier to ignore than to look at. So I'm glad that we aren't doing that. Okay, the next thing is the Friends of the Commission. We got the minutes from one meeting where there was discussion about having $50 go from the Friends Treasury to the be used by the Orientation Center for incidentals, and that kind of thing got me to thinking, I'm wondering if we should be you know, receiving, I mean, you know, we've been getting the minutes from the meetings, we haven't been getting any kind of real, you know, updates as far as how much money there is, where it's coming from, what it's, you know, going toward, you know, that kind of thing. And I'm wondering if we should be doing that just as an informational kind of a thing. What does anybody think?
I think we should have some idea of what, what's going on. Actually, but maybe Carlos, he's the liaison. Maybe he has information on it.
What was your last part? If I want to update or if I should vote?
No, the friends of the commission. You're the liaison, aren't
right,
you?
Right, I am.
Yeah, I didn't, Kate, maybe you have information on finances or where they sit with as far as their finances are concerned or their contributions or.
There were a few contributions. I'm sorry, you cut me a little on the spot because I don't have
we intend
any numbers,
to.
But there were some investments. Somebody, an accountant in Omaha, was able to get some donations through some stacks, I believe. So that money is still there. The ACB donated $200 to the Friends, so that's another donation there. That's all I'm aware so far. Now, I don't know, what I don't know is the money that has come to the commission, except those $50, or if all the money comes to the commission and how, you know, the procedure, how to spend the money, I don't know, so.
I'm wondering if we shouldn't maybe be doing something, because, you know, my understanding is that anything that comes into that entity, would need to go through the commission one way or another, but how, I don't know how those decisions are being made or what that procedure is.
I don't believe so. They're a self-standing foundation, so that if the commission has a worthy project that they can't cover, then they would present, I think they'd present a request to the Friends for a contribution or for funds.
What's their charter and what else can they spend money on?
Well, that's what they spend money on.
You mean like things. A project for an individual or a project for?
Well, whatever the commission needs that they can't cover legally with their funds, then they would present the project to the Friends for finance or advise the. Friends that situation exists and let them take it from there, but they wouldn't pay the money into the foundation, into the commission. I don't believe. I'd have to read it again, but I don't believe so.
No,
Madam President.
Okay, let's see.
Artist. Who are the Friends and how does that work? I think I've heard it, but I don't know how.
Bill, do you want to answer that?
Well, the Friends. Is an independent Friends of the Commission is incorporated as a support organization for the commission, and it's a 501c3 organization, and we have a board. Mike, I think Michael Floyd is president, and they have a board of directors to handle the funds, and. They have to every year they have to have a general meeting, and at that time appoint new members to the foundation, so forth. It's not a membership type organization.
Okay, thank you.
Pearl, I'd like to add to what Bill said. Some of the projects can be things that just don't quite fit, as Bill was describing. But also, the charter of the organization allows them to just to provide funds directly to the commission. So, for example, if we get to a point where the state has another special session and cuts our budget another $50,000 or whatever, that. We could let the Friends of the Commission know we do not have the funds to operate, you know, or to get our federal match or whatever. And if they have the funds, then the purpose for them existing is to be able to supplement the commission. So in that case, they would transfer the funds directly to the commission. And I, that's my idea of long-term.
Yeah, but it doesn't flow from the foundation to the commission. They don't automatically.
Oh, not automatically.
No, but you're right.
Right. To date, what we've done is some very small projects where it isn't that we legally, that it's an illegal thing to do, but it doesn't quite fit in the Rehab Act, like situations where in the training center or even in the offices, if there's a need to have some supplies like diapers, things, but you know, that people need and they aren't there and they don't have the ability to get them themselves, you know, I mean, so we really need to have diapers, for example, there or whatever. But when auditors come and look and say, well, why are you buying this and this and this? It's not a business need, you know, or even aspirin for clients. I mean, there are some things that just, they're not directly related to training and they're not part of a basic first aid kit. I mean, you can have those kinds of supplies, but, you know, why do you need pads, you know, for ladies? And, but
state ID.
Yeah, I mean, people are in training because they're fresh, they don't have the skills to just get those things. So what has happened to date is staff just do all that, and that's not right either. So the Friends has been very helpful to set up some things whereby we can use those funds. And the way we're doing it now is that the Friends gives $50 to Jan Ludwig to administer. And then a staff person, it'll mainly be the center, but it doesn't have to be the center, will let Jan know what they need and, you know, get the funds for that.
Platoosh.
Platoosh?
Actually, when we get donations sometimes to the center and we have our own bank account, but I think right after Friends call, we close that account and transfer our money to Friends, so that there won't be confusion with the state rules. So part of it is gone to the Friends from the center donations, people specifically donated to the center.
Thank you.
So now if someone donates to the center, are they, then they're informed that it will go to
Friends, yes.
Friends or whatever, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now another little piece related to soliciting funds for the center, for the commission or Friends, lots of staff have said, well, how can I contribute? Instead of doing a furlough, what if I donate a certain amount of money to the commission and then I help you, the commission out, plus I get a tax deductible donation?
Yeah, you had sent us some material on that, and I was wondering to know how, yes, if there has been something resolved.
Yes, the answer is you cannot do it. The federal regulations, it has to do with, you cannot have donations return to benefit the giver. And so,
can't even Friends?
Well, that's the next step. But for the commission itself, for if our staff give us money, then we cannot use that for rehab purposes. I mean, you know, so it's crazy. But Friends, we are looking into that. We didn't actually get it answered yet, but it seems more likely that Friends of the Commission will be something that staff and anybody, of course, can donate to. Because then they give their money to the commission. So it's not like, I mean, I can kind of see if the supervisor were putting pressure on some staff and kind of implying, well, you know, we'd sure like to keep you in this job, but if we don't have the money for it. So I kind of, it makes some sense to look at it that way. I know the Friends is looking into or has begun the process to be an eligible agency for when staff do their, you know, their automatic donations through the community fund things. if Friends of the Commission were on there, then, you know, it'd be on the list that every state employee looks at when they're choosing if they want to do automatic donations. So I think that would be a really wonderful thing down the road. It didn't get done in time for this year, but I know that it's in process.
Well, what would be the mechanism for us to get, you know, an ongoing, we get the minutes. I'm wondering, you know, I don't want us meddling. On the other hand, it does seem like a good thing for us to be kept up to date about what's coming in and how it's being used and that kind of thing.
Seems to me, aren't usually in minutes, the treasurer's report usually part of the minutes, so.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, those two things are usually two separate things. I mean, sometimes some things that happen that are voted on get included in the minutes, but not necessarily the actual, you know, treasurer's report. That wouldn't, you know, they're usually two separate things. I suppose we could be, we could say, you know, we like getting the minutes and we'd like to get the treasurer's report as well. I mean, we could do that, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Do people think that's a good idea? Is that unnecessary?
I think so. I mean, their charter is to kind of benefit the commission. So it's, if, I mean, who else is, you know, somebody should be watching, I think. I think it's appropriate that they provide us that information.
Is that